Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show. My name is Alisa.
My name's Liz. Hey.
Hey. So.
Hi. Yeah. Do we have anybody waiting?
We do have
okay,
one hand
good.
Raised.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I know who it is. If I can just get my computer to actually work with me, I can maybe have my cursor work. Here we go.
Good morning.
It's Brittany. Good morning.
Yes. How are y'all?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
Let me just get the database loaded. Hold up 1 second. Momentito. Okay, here we go. Okay, so would you like a message?
Yes.
Okay, so just say pick. And do me a favor, Brittany. Wait. Stop the music for a second. Sorry. My bad. So this, what I'm about to say is a little routine that you've gotten into with the messages. Is that I'm ready when you are. Just say pick. Just say
okay.
Pick. And that gives you more ownership of this process. All right?
Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right, stand by. I'm ready. Okay. You did very well. So the message, the number associated with this message is 136. Wow, this is beautiful. Activations occur when buttons/wounds get pushed, expressing in contraction/resistance or soil bursting flowering. You choose your journey. I'll read it again. So this is kind of a poetic message. Activations occur when buttons/wounds get pushed, expressing in contraction/resistance or soil bursting flowering. You choose your journey. 136.
Well, that's an interesting message with that sequence of numbers. Of course, the one starts off this whole thing. It's the intention. It also indicates the individual. The three then takes it to the next level. Everything jumps in these levels of three. The three talks about how you're going to express yourself. It talks about the energy and the creativity of whatever is going on with you. It also talks about expression and communication. So it's almost like what you take in is what you're going to put back out again. But the filter, of course, is whether you're able to process it or whether you've already processed something that you're taking with you into whatever you're going into. That's the filter that you're gonna see in the world. So whether you've been in a good mood or a rough mood, a vulnerable mood, or if it's a very lighthearted mood, it can the way it can come out can be very different the way you read a situation. And then the six is then also how you will treat other people. Whether it's six is generally I call a very loving number, on the extreme of that, where it can be this like need to fix everything. So again, the filter can be changed a little bit, where you can be overbearing on something versus just feeling really happy and wanting to wanting everyone to do okay, wanting everyone to be okay, and taking care of the people around you. But also from a point of being also being taken care of versus taking care of people because you can't cope with stuff that's happening to you. So the only thing you can do is take care of other people, but it's also a huge sacrifice. So it's, there are two, well, every number has different vibrations in their spectrum. So even these numbers, I can seem very, oh, it's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It can be very lighthearted. There can be a heaviness to it. And it really just depends on where you are. Like that starting point, that number one just tells you, well, where are you right now? Because the message talked about contrast of, you know, you can get this, you can understand it through the contrast. And that's how most people do it, because they just know, well, I don't want that. Or it can be this realization of, okay, I'm going through this, and I am the whole phrase here is that I'm going through it. I'm not staying there, but because I'm processing and I'm figuring this stuff out, what sprouts from that is wisdom and experience. So it's not just an automatic kind of reaction. The way you work through it is to understand how it applies right now. Maybe, you know, looking at vibrationally, how has it applied perhaps in the past that you didn't, it wasn't an option because you weren't aware of it. And when you add up all those numbers, it ends up still equaling a one. So it's still you, but it's a higher level you. If you've been able to work through it, it's definitely a more enhanced version of yourself, because you've taken the hits, so to speak, but you've understood why it went that way and what you bring to the table the next time. So this level of awareness, and I would say because that number six factors in there so much at the very end, it's how much have you loved yourself? That's a six and a one. How much have you loved yourself in this process to make you understand that the next time around, that's where even that six, that six can be a helping, but not like an overbearing. Well, I got to protect you from everything. I got to fix it. I'm going to take it on myself. Very different vibes that we can express. So it's a very powerful message.
Yes.
In understanding
that's
who you
I are. Can relate to it. Yeah. That's all me. I can relate to it. You know, right. Trying to deal with some things from the past, and, you know, I've been very expressive lately. Like, I just been letting it out. And, you know, I'm learning how to be okay. You know, I let myself all the way down. And once I say, phew, I let it out. I pick myself up and keep going.
Mm. So, well, there you go.
Now it's up to you, because I've done my part. So now it's like this year it's all about, you know, making changes for myself and, you know, loving on myself. And I'm going to do it. And that's just where I'm at right now.
Beautiful.
All right.
And it's not contingent upon anything else. You know, even saying like, well, it's your turn, it's on you. It's even if letting go of that, just accepting whatever it is and claiming your part as you are, that's it.
Yeah, I have. So it's like I'm not about to carry a load, you know, for nobody else. Like
exactly.
I said, you know, I've done my part. You know, the only thing I can say is, okay, now it's up to you. If not, I'll keep it going. You know, I've been praying a lot. You know, I've been asking God to help me. You know, and if I am wrong and if I have expressed wrong, you know, I go back and correct it and say, well, you know, God will teach me how to communicate.
Right.
How can
right.
I say this? How can I deal with it?
That's beautiful.
You know, overall, I'm going through a transition, and, you know, it don't feel so good, but at the end of the day, I know it's going to get better because
it's growth.
Transition is with,
growth doesn't
yeah,
feel great.
Yeah. So, I recognize that, but at the end of the day, I still see it as beautiful, because when I get to myself, I'd be like, whew. Keep going. You got it.
That's good.
But I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
And I thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
have a great day, Brittany.
As always.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. All right.
Yay. Okay.
Let me I'll put you on mute, Britton, so you can continue to listen as long as you can. Let me just double check everything in the chat room so I don't do that. Hi to Jay and Raven in the chat room. And so.
Anybody else in the queue?
No. How are you?
Okay. Not good.
No.
Not good. So, long story short, I got a call from one of my, you actually met her, one of my dearest friend's husband, who never gets in, who didn't even have my number, hello. Basically, I had to go to ICU because one of my dearest friends is dying, in a nutshell.
What?
Yeah. I'll get into that in a second. But when you were in New York last year and you went to the show that I was working on, one of my girlfriends who was there, it's her. And I'm sure I introduced you, not that I expected to remember, but this is somebody that I'm very, very close to. And, yeah, so she is going through double organ failure. Her liver is just failing on her. Her lungs are being filled. She's been unresponsive for five, I guess today's 6 days now. Like, it's bad.
Cool.
She's breathing with assistance.
Oh, wow.
But she's failing. She's failing. Yeah. So I've been in the hospital since Sunday, in and out, like while, you know, doing other things and planning on heading back there today. Mm. And I thought for half a second, can I do this show? And I'm like, you know what? If I'm just present, and again, like going through anything difficult, the energy of the show is when we tap into the purest part of ourselves. I say this all the time.
Right.
And it's just holding a comfortable, safe space. But it really is a matter of chronic malnutrition. She was a binge dieter. Coupled with, we cannot take our health for granted, people. Coupled with excessive alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
And has been for many, many, many years. We know each other for decades. Not just for myself, but for many people. No one's not happy to see this girl. Just one of the funniest, sweetest, most fabulous people. And especially over the last 10 years, we've grown a lot closer. And in particular, the last 2 years, when I was going through the divorce. Yes, I'm devastated.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So.
I'm so sorry to hear.
Yeah, me too.
It's really difficult. So.
It's bad. Yeah, because she's like, it's like losing a sister. Like, it's bad.
Mm.
And I'm closer to her. And I'm not really close to my sister, so maybe it's the wrong metaphor, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And the thing is, too, during times like that, and she's one of the funniest, oh my God, we used to crack each other up. She's so freaking funny that humor was just such a part of her expression that, you know, even in the hospital, like I'm cracking jokes with her because I just have to go into that place of light. And I brought her a little angel that's in her ICU unit. But I think I just have to start preparing myself. Not that you can really, but yeah, and it doesn't get easier. You can lose so many people, and it's still, there's no shortcut. There's no,
yeah,
you know, just because I've gone through this so many freaking times, doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When you start realizing, you know, what's happening to those around you, and every situation is a little different. Sometimes it's unexpected, and
like this is totally
it reminded me when you were just talking about that. It reminded me of my Uncle Bert and how he had when he passed, it was one of those where something happened to him.
Right.
He had a stroke or a heart attack, and
right.
And he was unconscious for a few minutes. Like he wasn't breathing for a few minutes. It wasn't that he was unconscious. Well, he wasn't breathing for a few minutes. And like, well, I can't, you know.
That's not good.
Even if you come back from that, you're forever changed. To not have oxygen for a certain amount of time. So it was one of those. And I remember you had tapped into that. Like, he was given these options of, you know, energetically, you know, you want to come back or are you ready to move on? And I think that given those choices, I think, you know.
She's deciding. She's deciding. And I know and like these people don't know, like I do this show, whatever, they don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they know I'm so intuitive. Like they call me Miss Cleo. Like they know I'm very intuitive. But, but that's really it. So I already know that she's made her decision. She wasn't quite sure on Sunday, but basically her body is slowly poisoning itself, and they can't really give her steroids or anything because the lungs are full. And there's no infection, which is too bad, because it means it's the liver's doing all this damage, like the lungs and all of that. It's not an infection. So all these antibiotics aren't doing anything. If anything, it's probably making her worse.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But she would have no quality of life at this point. And the last statement I heard from her husband, and God only knows how everybody, including him, thought it was going to be the other way around. He's a massive alcoholic, massive high-functioning alcoholic.
Wow.
And very neurotic and very OCD. And what's so interesting, because she's hooked up to everything, every time there would be a beep, he's getting up, he's looking at the numbers. He's like, it was making me nervous. And what was so interesting was that he and one of her friends from high school that came in from out of town met with the team of doctors. And they were out of the room for like a good hour and a half, and it was just me and her. So I had my head on her lap, I was holding her hand, not one beep for over an hour. Not one beep.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. It was peaceful, actually. It was quiet. Mm-hmm. And the hospital's not quiet. It was quiet. I thought that's really interesting. And then the second that they would come back, beep, 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 beep. So I said to myself, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So I just said, we're going to take a disco nap now. Just take a little disco nap. So do what you have to do. I love you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's good you had that time with her.
Oh, it was everything. And then I left shortly after when everybody came back. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I wanted to just keep that bubble intact. I want to hold on to that togetherness. I don't think I'm going to be alone with her like that again, ever.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So I wanted to kind of seal that memory, because I want to remember her in this state in that beautiful way. And one thing that I have noticed in my growth, I would be very traumatized to see somebody on life support just with seeing my child like that, you know, almost 24 years ago, and many friends and all of that. And what's so great is I'm very proud of myself. I'm not afraid of that environment at all. I could see through it.
Right.
I could see through it. Right. It wasn't about like my fear or my this or my anxiety or my PTSD or no. It was really like radically accepting this circumstance, this illusion.
Right.
And yeah, so that was great to sort of identify my progress kind of by default. So that was lovely. So I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. Usually I would be so like scared or nervous of this and that, and no, it's not about me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that was nice. That's beautiful. So, yeah, I'll go back today before I have to go teach for a few hours, and it's touch and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a little shook.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just send a little prayer out because, yeah,
thank
she's
you, honey.
Having to make her decisions. And
yep.
Like you said, it is touch and go. It's just like, yeah, well, we have to figure this out. She has to figure it out. And it is hard, I think. I was totally thinking of my other uncle, Uncle Roof, who was in hospice care. And I think that was the first time for me to see someone be in a particular state that was so vastly different. I mean, but he was, he was also, you know, up there in age. And I don't think I didn't really know my grandparents. I knew both of my grandmothers, one much longer than the other because she was, you know, actually here with us as we were growing up, my dad's mom, Aunt Anna's grandmother. So,
right.
You know, that's the, but you know, when it was time for her, like she was back in the Philippines and stayed there, ended up staying there because when she was getting older, a lot older and not feeling better. So she, I think we all decided as a family that we could send her money and hopefully she would have, we could afford the care that she would need.
Sure, there, yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she could still be, like, she could be in her homeland and all that. I don't know if that was,
right.
You know, regardless of whatever happened, whatever went down, when it was time for her to go, like, I wasn't able to see her. I didn't see her. My dad had gone. To see her, obviously, I was his mom, but I didn't really see her.
Right.
I saw her get old because she was my grandmother, but I didn't really see her at the end and how when you get that old and when you just get older and stuff happens and it takes a toll on your body,
right.
Whatever the case may be,
yep.
You don't get to
right.
see that. And so being around, you know, death in that way was pretty foreign to me. And so as my, you know, when my uncle was in hospice, it was going in knowing that everyone was already kind of overly emotional about it. It was incredibly sad. But I was trying to pay attention. I mean, I was, you know, definitely overwhelmed too. Crying but realizing he's still there. Still there, but I had to just be aware of what kind of vibes was I going to put out because I knew that that was probably the last time I'd see him. So the difficulty there is that I had to be able to talk to him and about him in a way that he could understand that I still love him and I could, in a way, say my piece for him and not be too overwhelmed.
Right.
So it, and I know you had to, your phone was being weird, so you dropped out for a moment there.
Yeah, but I said, he's still there. Click. I'm like, okay, we know you're here. Thank you. Right.
I know, obviously, all right, I'll go, you know, we get it. But I think that was the first time. But what I was noticing, he was obviously, you know, there wasn't anything else he could do. He was pretty much done. Like
right.
that body could only do so much for him.
Right.
And as the phrase I remember thinking of was, this is the shell of the man that I knew, but his spirit was still in there. He's still aware, but was not going to be expressing a lot, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Just with the eyes. And so the, all the noise, like I, for me, it wasn't so much the noise of any machines. It was the noise of everybody else just in various sniffles and bits of crying. And my dad couldn't even stay in the room. You know, he was just, he couldn't really stay in that environment. So I had to sit there and not had to, but I knew I needed to just to do what I needed to do energetically and also verbally. But then even I'm like, okay, well, there isn't much else I can do. Like, yeah, I'm only here for so long. And we can't stay in this hospice care room for, you know, hours and hours and hours and just sit in that for that long. But it was very interesting to have, like, that portion of a cycle of life.
Yeah.
Versus, say, you know, being at a birth. You know, so like
right.
The beginnings and the mm-hmm. endings can
mm-hmm.
feel very different. You have different meanings for different people, but it's all part of the cycle. So, yeah, I get it. switching gears a little bit.
Yeah.
I met up with an old friend of mine, Elizabeth Losey. So
oh my God!
Someone, yeah. Her birthday was last week, and I wished her a happy birthday on Facebook. And she, we kind of went back and forth, like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she's like, "Are you traveling the world still, or are you do you happen to be mm-hmm. in town? You know, we'd love to catch up." And so, sure enough, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm in town." I said, "You caught me on my vacation for my vacations, which is also known as work." So. So yeah, I'm definitely in town, and it was good. We got to we met up last night, kind of just after, you know, like early evening, and it was just good that we caught up. We went to a cafe, and I actually had dinner there. Like, we eat some quiche. It was very good, but yeah, so it was good to catch up with her, and took about 3 or 4 hours just to catch up. And we weren't really all completely caught up. She, you know, she definitely has her own crazy, crazy stories. But before that, I went to one of our metaphysical bookstores in the area.
Uh-huh.
And like, I had left my citrine bracelet. I took a shower yesterday. I left my bracelet back in my room. And I noticed it when I was already, on my way, driving away. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to turn back around. It's
no,
traffic
of course.
Time. But it's not like a phone or anything like that. But, you know, I'd been wearing it pretty consistently. So I had to run some errands, and I went by the bookstore and was picking up a birthday card for a friend that's having a birthday tomorrow. But picked mm-hmm. up a card and a book, and then found that I was looking for more kind of yellow stones.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember Tiger's Eye was one that was going to be good for my solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually was just looking for yellow, just some type mm-hmm. of yellow stone I can keep in my pocket in case I happen to forget, you know, the citrine or just whatever. I just wanted something additional. And
right.
I don't know if I took you to this bookstore. I don't think we had time when you were here. But
I don't know.
It's I don't think we went to a bookstore because, you know, we were busy driving to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
It's one of the big metaphysical bookstores in Atlanta. And so they have tons of just all kinds of stuff. A lot of gemstones and things like that. And normally they're in there's a whole wall with these little glass jars of different colored stones. But there's also a big bowl of just like flat round stones of different colors. Usually I don't even know what the complete black ones were, but a lot of that. And in between there, you know, you can see different colors. You just have to dig through, but it's not at eye level. In fact, it's more like you have to kind of bend down a little bit and kind of dig through, or you bring this heavy jar up to the counter and dig through there. And I found a big tiger's eye.
Oh.
Kind of a round stone. And I remember picking it up thinking, oh, I think it's Tiger's Eye, sure enough it was. Like, oh, do I need it? I wasn't sure. I put it back down, walked around, did a circuit, around checking other things out. You know, like, you know, such a Taurus. So, like, let me just think about that for a little bit. But it still spoke to me. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm gonna go ahead and get it. And I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. But it was nice to have that. So Elizabeth also does a lot of stuff with crystals. So she usually carries around a little bag of like little pebbles of these little gemstones. So you can kind of do her little reading is you go in there and just, you know, take a little pinch, and whatever comes up, she'll look at the stones and you know, kind of give a reading based on that.
Oh,
so it was
cool.
Really cool. Yeah, it was actually really cool. So, you know, I did it a couple of times. And so I have a little pictures out. As you know, she let me keep the little stones. So that was good. I have them on some selenite right now. So it's just good to have them kind of recharged overnight now that they're in their new home. So it was just really fun to catch up with her. You know, she's on a, her spiritual track has a lot to do with, you know, like mystery schools and, you know, priestess energy. And
that's a lot. Yeah.
It is a lot. It's intense. And some of the stories she was telling me, I'm like, wow, that's intense. And I think part of one thing we didn't get to discuss because there were so many things to kind of catch up on, but I was thinking, this is, like, I'm sure I've gone through that kind of stuff before in past lives. And I'm sure, like, kind of like that and like, you know, the church. Like, these things of going to a church service, a mass, and seeing going through these rituals that I know have meaning.
Yep.
But for some, for me, it just does not call to me.
Nope.
And so, you know, I admire people where that's, you know, that's just where they are. And that's what they're here to take in. And you know, she's taking in a lot. There's a lot, as a result, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens as well, because, you know, every scenario has its crazy characters, right?
So, all day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. But when I got home, you know, like, I'm sure I picked up some energy there. So I keep that salt by my sink.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that a few times, and I'm like, okay, just to make sure, because it's, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot.
But it was really good to see her. We're going to...
I'm sure.
We're going to try to meet up again. We're going to try to plan, since she knows I go up to Dahlonega a lot for the wine tours. In Dahlonega, there are a lot of kind of, you know, mining places where you can look for gemstones and that kind of gold.
Oh, wow.
So Dahlonega was one of the first places that had the found gold. In the mountains, I mean, gold, where, you know, back in, however, you know, 1800s or whatever, one of the first places on the east, you know, east of the Mississippi, where there was some gold. So that's kind of its claim to fame. And in fact, the Georgia state capitol in Atlanta, the capitol building has, you know, like a dome, a gold dome plated structure, you know, as part of its, you know, part of, as a reminder of, hey, yeah, we used to have gold here. Yeah, so technically, I guess there's still some gold in there, but
anyway,
so the mining, the mining in the Dahlonega area is kind of like a little, you know, a little touristy thing that people can do. Like, a lot of the kids like to do it because they get to do some manual labor and play in the dirt and maybe find some little gemstones. But you know, she has found some really nice pieces. So I've had several people tell me that they've been able to find some stuff. Some pretty good pieces going up there. And I've never done it. So I think it'll be kind of a fun excursion at some point. But, you know, we are going to try to meet up and just try to catch up. Because I think the last time we figured it out, she's like, it's been about 5.5 years since I've actually seen you. And we live in the same city. So,
wow.
So that was, it was, like I said, it was good to kind of touch base with her and I think because she has such a strong personality, like, to just, you know, to just sit in that presence and be in my own presence, and not just because of the tiger's eye or whatever, but just having a better sense of self. And in fact, a lot of the stories that she was sharing was kind of also being in that situation where there's another very powerful presence, you know, of
right.
a personality, and having to, you know, kind of butting heads with that. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
We do have another hand raised. So let me.
Great. Praise be.
Good morning. Hello.
Praise be. You spoke of priestesses and that kind of vibration. I said, they're announcing my presence. Peaceful greetings.
Hello, darling.
Hello. It's opulent.
Hi there. How are you both doing?
Okay.
I'm doing well. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa, what's up with you?
Well, she has.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Yeah, although she came in after she had already talked a little bit about what was going on with her. She has a very dear friend of hers who is in the hospital right now and on different types of support systems to keep her going for right now, but it's not looking great. So the last few days she's been visiting her friend in the hospital. So it's a very somber time for her because I think she knows her friend is making that decision to finish her transition, but it's just,
it's an adjustment.
It's an adjustment. So
that's all.
That's what's happening. So she's,
She's
sort of in that, in
you
that
know,
zone.
And I'm going to say this. One of my dear beloved sister friends passed a few years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But you know, she comes to visit me.
Of course. Oh
and
yeah, of course. There's no denying that. It's just adjusting. It's just absolutely. We can go through this hundreds of times. I've gone through this so many times. It just is part of the process. It's the same way. It's like you made the comparison, Elisa, with giving birth. It's like if you're gonna deliver without like an epidural, whatever, it's gonna hurt. So it's the same thing. I'm just adjusting, and I'm not feeling very talkative. But I'm talking to her. I've been joking with her. I've been singing with her. I've been doing her hair. I've been, I see the illusion. But being that, you know, it's interesting, Lisa, because you're talking about, you know, meeting up with this friend, and she's going through a very kind of extreme lifestyle, so to speak. This is just what it is. It's just part of life. So just am keeping my energy very tight. And I'm not tight, but very local. I just don't really feel like I'm just containing myself.
Right.
But yeah, I'm already talking to her.
I called because I've been feeling your vibration, so that could be why. I just bring my love forward.
Thank
but
you, honey.
Also, you're welcome. Also, to ask about my boyfriend.
Well, he's been doing. Thank you. He's been doing so much better. The last year has been really, really challenging, but I know that we're on the right track. He's doing much, much better. He's the lights in his back in his eyes again. So.
Hmm.
And the love is very much there. So thank you for asking.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's good. Oh, Elisa, you sent a picture of your crystal. How gorgeous that tiger's eye.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I like it.
And what is tiger's eye helps with what is its properties?
Well, I liked it because it was really good for like the lower chakras, the third, the second,
uh-huh.
and the first.
Mm-hmm.
And so my focus has been on the third chakra.
Right.
And I had pulled that up because I was looking like, what is this really? What I remember someone saying, "Oh, yes, you get it." So something I read was it's a powerful stone that helps you to release fear and anxiety and aids harmony and balance.
Oh, we like that.
Taking it stimulates taking action and helps you to make decisions with discernment and understanding and unclouded by your emotions. So I like that one.
All day. That's good.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
Yeah, I thought that was positive. Yeah.
Very much so. No, that's good. That's good. So opulence, yeah, you're right on the money, you know, checking in. Absolutely. So how about, why don't we, since you're here and we haven't spoken to you, this is the first time in the new year, let's pull a message for you.
Oh, please do. And you're right. I accept. I'm right on the money. I'm standing on piles of $100 bills. I'm surrounded.
Yes.
I'm surrounded by them. And I'm not even going to call them bills, currency, you know, because bills are played with something else. So with that said, yes, I'll move forward with that with a smile on my face and my hands open, palms open, and sharing with you all if you wish.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, all day.
Please.
Yeah, we'll break off a piece. Okay. So stand by. I'm ready when
the
you guys
opulence.
Are.
Okay.
That's our name.
Now.
Okay. The message associated, the number associated with this message is 880. That's very interesting. Those are some good numbers. That's really interesting. 880. And here is the message. When you react or make conclusions based on internal stories and judgments, the truth is no longer the truth. And an energetic virus is spawned. And that's true. When you talk about, like, I know my friend on the life support and all of that, I know that that's not her truth. But for, you know, a lot of people, it's like that energetic virus is getting spawned, right? So this is a great message for what you were talking about. Like, you know, you lost your friend 5 years ago. She's with you. Yeah, that's the truth. She didn't go no place. She just left her body behind. And what's so great, for the first time, I can sit with somebody that's making their transition and like I said earlier, feel my strength that I just see a shell. It's not her. And that's my truth for me. So I love that as opposed to taking everything so literally or so at face value. I'll read the message again. When you react or make conclusions based on internal stories and judgments, the truth is no longer the truth, and an energetic virus is spawned. 880.
Well, obviously, when you even go to the 880, of course, that's those are powerful numbers. Both the eights, obviously, about the creation of a big plan and the manifestation of that plan and all the details that go with it that just, you know, takes a village and it takes a team and,
right.
You know, when the plan comes together, everyone benefits from it. So there was the double eight saying, yeah, that was the big plan and it's here and you have to be able to look at what you manifested. The zero is like an additional protection number. Especially coming at the end of that sequence, it's like God's number. So really elevating that to where, you know, it's obvious God is through all of this. It's not just like, oh, I think God's in the details. It's like, no, we this is such a big thing that there's no denying it. It's like it just comes with it. It's part of the package. If you add up those numbers, though, it ends up being a 7 overall, which is a very spiritual number. And it's about that discernment, and it's also about faith. So the message is about like, keeping it as pure as possible, in a sense, like realizing that we don't always really get the full story, but the truth is still there. So the story comes with, you know, we talked about being our own filters. But a filter is one thing, but when the filter is something that is pretty hard and fast, like having the judgment, you know, or I think what were the terms in that in that message. It was, you know, with judgment and our own story. So that's our own viewpoint of it. It may not be the truth. It's our own viewpoint of it. And easy, judgment is not necessarily a truth, right? It's a judgment. It's an opinion. It's finalized. The fact it kind of limits the scope of what the truth is, what the truth actually covers, because there's always so much that, you know, in that judgment that you're going to allow or admit to being true. The rest of it's like, well, that's not true for me. But the truth is much more, you know, all-encompassing. They're almost showing me, like, we don't always know the entire scope of it because we haven't lived in it yet. And we are finite in a particular form. We may not be able to even be, you know, to reach it, to see it. But almost like the truth is on a continuum. It's very interesting. But great message because...
Yes.
Because truth is on this continuum,
right?
And the scope is so large that at any given point, when we look at a situation like we were just talking about this on the show, with the cycle of life,
right?
In the beginning, there's this period of rage. Oh, you know, something new, and at the end,
right.
It's like, oh, you know, we had to let it go.
Right.
And it's all part of this whole truth, but we can only take in so much of it at any given point in any given situation. So
right.
We add that on top of what we think is, if you've had a fairly sheltered life when it comes to these cycles, because you know, beginnings and endings are things that I'm like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, what's going on here. Beginnings are usually a lot easier because you just, everything's new and everyone has that feeling of, I don't know what's going on, but you know, I didn't realize that was the beginning. But by the end, you're like, is this really the end? It's usually, are we done? I'm not sure. So there's uncertainty as to the actual ending time, because there's not really an ending. But we don't
right.
always know how to verbalize that, or how to even wrap our minds around it if we're not there yet. So that's what, you know, that's sort of, well, that's not sort of that is what we're talking about, that there is a continuum. So we're not really, we're never really done, right? We're never really done, but at some point, parts of these have to be done to make space for something else. Wow.
Like
yeah.
Like art.
Take a sip of water.
Like the creation of art. And as you are speaking, I'm equating that as I'm writing in my writings, my authorship that I am, and the vessels that I am holding my words in, and how when I got my computer back from being repaired, and it was white, and then my external hard drive.
That's funny.
Isn't working properly, and so it's like my writings, and I'm like, okay, but I got so into my what I'm creating that is coming back, and of course it's transformed,
mm-hmm.
and I'm remembering to back it up more in different ways. And it happened to me again this morning, something, a couple of paragraphs, you know, I didn't back it up right away, so I'll be revisiting that, revising that. But the truth of the matter is, it's my story and I'm creating it, and it's my creation.
Okay.
And I can revise it at will, or go back and do it the same way. So
right.
It's like, you know, what you were saying actually about, you know, the truth and the truth.
Right.
It's my truth and how I decide to
write
write it. How I decide to write it and rewrite it. And so I received the blessings of the message and the energy, and your voice sounds a little up, a couple of tones, and I'm glad to hear that.
Mm.
And that makes me happy to have
good.
Felt the rise in tone from you. And I thank you both for sharing.
Well, we thank you, and thank you for being part of our family and checking in, and it means a tremendous amount. So thank you, my dear.
Oh, my pleasure to be with you all. And, of course, on the forehead to him, a kiss.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell him it's from his I will. I definitely will.
Goddess mother.
Yeah, I know. My brain is like, I'm like, I know she says it, and I'm going to say it wrong, so let me not say anything. Right, so thank you.
You're welcome. And I have a big smile on my face. Yeah, the tones in your voice are, yeah, I love it.
Oh, yay. I'll tell him. All right, darling.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you, Opulence. Love you.
Yeah, I haven't heard from her in forever.
I know. That's good. It's good to have people calling in. We actually had someone with a hand raised, but then now they're gone again. So I don't know if Blog Talk dropped them, but we'll see. Last few minutes on the show. That was a really good message, though. I really like that one.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
And what was I going to ask? Kind of going back to that visit with my friend, you know, I ended up going, her family had moved to a different house in kind of the same area, very close to where she used to live. So we were meeting in that area. And when we were kind of, cafe where we were at, where we were getting ready to close. So she's like, well, do you want to, you know, just come by the house and see the new space? I said, sure. So she has her own, like, you know, office room in the downstairs area, which is where she had it before. But, you know, lots of crystals around and, you know, altars. And it's like, you know, like going to Reverend Adam's room and you're like, well, there's just a lot of stuff around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So for me, like, still being aware, like, I know I'm taking in, you know, there's
a lot
of energy around here.
A lot, yeah.
Like, so, like, what else would I need to be doing? Or, not like, you know, after the fact, but as I go into places where I know, even, like, when I went to that bookstore.
Yep, it's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, any tips?
Yeah, let's see. Well, what's interesting is that it's what I do in situations like that, where, you know, you want to be respectful of the person's space. You know, an energetic impression is like, this is so extreme, like, great, good for you, not for me. Okay, great.
Anything
in the extreme just doesn't land well for me personally. That's just how I am wired. So an approach that I use is that it's like I'm going to a museum. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an exhibit. And the same way that I don't really feel any vulnerability in being objective in my observation, like, okay, taking it all in, and then sort of being in my bubble of just, okay, mm-hmm. just sort of separating myself a little bit, yet being very respectful, because there's no right or wrong or better or worse, whatever. It's just managing various degrees of sensitivity. So, and just kind of claiming, like, that this is great and I'm not connecting to this, meaning I'm not going to blur the boundaries here. Even mm-hmm. going into the ICU. There's a part of me that just will disassociate. Well, where I'm just about that fragment of, I am here to give light and energy to my beloved friend. That's
right.
It. So I'm not dealing with the BS of my personal opinion about, you know, the conventional medicine or whatever. And none of that has nothing to do. It's just accessing the purest part of who you are. And again, the word radical acceptance, I've been using that term a lot. It's a title of a book, which I haven't read. I have the book, but whatever. But just in the title of that book, radical acceptance, that there's something radical about the acceptance, meaning that it's a radical situation. It's one you really don't want to accept, but it's not about you. It's not about the reactive mind. The reactive mind is the ego. It's not about that. It's about coexisting in that space.
Mm.
But knowing that you don't belong, that doesn't belong to you. You're
right.
Not part of that. You're not participating in that. And then
right.
Obviously, like when I was so shooken up when I was home last night, and then of course I'm on the phone and talking to people, and I was on the phone quite a bit before we got on the air today, and you know, reliving this and hearing everybody's reaction and this, that, and the other, and again just being in that very pure space. But you know what's so interesting? A listener who we haven't talked to in a long time, I don't even remember her name. It was like a one-shot deal. But we were talking about washing our hands with salt, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
She had actually sent me through Amazon, and I never used it, but a bottle of black Himalayan salt, which is very powerful.
Mm.
And what's very interesting, on Saturday, I went to get something, and all of a sudden, the bottle, I don't know where it came from, fell off the shelf. It didn't break, but salt was everywhere.
Oh, wow.
But it's very coarse and very coarse.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before, the next morning I found out about my friend.
Oh,
and as
wow.
I'm scooping up the salt, I'm like, oh, this is so much more powerful than regular table salt. Damn, this is
mm-hmm.
wow. So I've been actually using the more powerful salt to really clear energy that just doesn't belong to me.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So that's, like in case of emergency, like use a black Himalayan salt. It
okay.
felt so different than the conventional, like just regular, you know,
mm-hmm.
salt
mm-hmm.
that you use to, right.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually we have two hands raised the last 2 minutes of the show.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah.
I know.
We have to make it real quick because I got to, like, go to the hospital and stuff, so let's make it real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk
well,
about
it. Well, now only one hand raised, so that's okay.
Okay, thank you, hand, for understanding. Okay.
This is very good 415. I know who it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi, Jessica. Let's make it super
just
quick.
Just wanted
a message.
Card. Yeah, I just wanted a
okay.
card.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
So things are a little heightened. All right, I'm ready
All
when
right.
you guys are.
Okay.
Okay. Number is 25. And that's interesting because a two-digit number is very rare, so 25.
Mm-hmm.
And the message is, be the loving expression of the experience you are ready to receive. This shift is an inspiration to regard all others and yourself as source. This is a great message because I'm going to take it and go with it. I'll read it again. This is great. So when I go into ICU today, I'm going to really remember this message. Be the loving expression of the experience you are ready to receive. This shift is an inspiration to regard all others and yourself as source. 25.
Even those numbers correspond to that message perfectly. The two being the partnership, being the support, and the five being the experience that you have, and what you take from that overall is that it's a seven. Sevens are popping up. Seven was in the other, was basically overall number of the other message, but the seven is saying, you know, the things that you work on within yourself is exactly what will be mirrored on the outside because you're kind of tuned into that. So as you take care of things internally, externally, you also start to view them differently from as we would even tie it to opulence is the previous message of, you know, the truth, your truth. This is all about being present, because what you're doing is then connecting with the other people, the environment around you, but you're also taking so much in. Two is also a very receptive number. So in as much as you want to be helpful or think you can also be helped and receive help, that experience and how you show up really colors how that's going to be. And when you show up ready to receive whatever's you just stepped into, it comes from a place of not only just receptivity, but also of understanding your own self-worth and your own power and your own place in the bigger scheme of things. Fantastic message.
Awesome. Thank you. It's right on point. Yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Great.
Thanks.
Perfect.
Okay. Have a great day.
Have a
great
day. All right.
Thank you.
So,
you
guys,
too.
Oops.
Bye.
Sorry about that. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show is scheduled to be back on the air Thursday. Is that Valentine's Day, girl?
It is.
Oh, it's us. Oh, hello. Okay. Our Valentine's Day special. I always do that. I'm like, okay, what's special about it? I don't know. We're doing a show. That's special enough. Okay.
Right.
Valentine's Day special, because that doesn't mean anything. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. I'm so grateful for this show and our listeners and for you, Lisa. Love you so much. And
oh,
we'll talk soon.
Love you too.
Take care.
Okay.
Thanks, Darlene. Take care. Bye.
Bye.